Hello, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Going all right. I mean, it's been
beautiful outside, and we definitely, up in the Northeast, really appreciate the better weather when it comes. And so I've got the baby coming up end of June. We're like mid-May right now, and so I've been trying to enjoy the weather, get out and play golf as much as I can without letting the company just die in the meantime, because I know once the baby comes, I won't have that time. So
yeah,
a lot around that, but yeah, just really enjoying things right now and excited about it all. How about you?
Nice. Yeah, was kind of off and on last week a little bit with some family stuff. And I think that, like, kind of like you're saying, see that continuing through the summer, probably with, you know, kids home from school and they're going to some summer camps and stuff like that. But I think it's a good lesson for us all that, like, I mean, I have some friends that take a lot of time off in the summer. And I think
Europe doesn't work in the summer, do they?
Yeah, like the entire month of August, they don't work. And like, that's just an accepted thing. And I think that, like, what I will probably do is more like what I used to do a little bit was like work mornings and then evenings, but then have like lunch through 4 o'clock free, something like that. I really like that. It means that I have slightly less time for calls with customers. But like if our kids are off school and they're not in camp or something like that, like I want to be able to go kayaking with them or hang out and do stuff. And they can't do stuff all day. So like having kind of a part of the regular day free is really nice. And I think that that's something that a lot of folks like look at as summer comes, is like traveling and time outside and stuff like that, regardless of where you are. So yeah, it's a nice reminder.
One of the things that I feel like the last year or two, I've been trying to do a better job of is planning around my day of like, okay, I found that really 2:30, 3 p.m., I'm just not productive. And so it's like, okay, I'm going to have my focus morning time, and then the afternoon is going to be more interruptible and all that. But once the baby comes, like, I don't really have a choice, do I?
No. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it depends on, you know, a lot of things. But yeah, I think that you'll just be doing the essentials probably, because you just won't have as much good workable focus time.
Yeah. And that's something where I've been trying to get a better handle on what's realistic. And we're fortunate in that we're definitely not the last of our friend group to have a kid, but not that far off. And so we've had a lot of close friends who have had babies in the last couple of years that we're very close with. And like, we see it. And so we know to an extent, we won't know until we're actually there, that it's like insanely hard. And yes, get prepared, get things ready, but it's still not going to be what you expect it to be. And so I think our expectations are in the right ballpark, but I just have a hard time trying to wrap my head around like what it's going to be like in the thick of it. Because in my head, I was like, okay, like, yeah, I do not plan to work for a bit in the beginning. But I'm just like, okay, after a week, a couple weeks, I don't know, like, I should have sometimes like take a call. Maybe I can't like block it out on my calendar, but I don't know. So like, how would you be thinking about this? And obviously every situation is gonna be different, and who knows what the first couple of weeks or longer will be like for us, but broadly speaking, like, how would you be thinking about that?
Man, like, it's a long, it's 9 years ago, almost 10 years ago that like our youngest was born. I mean, I think I took a week off when each of them were born, maybe a week and a little bit, and was just home, you know, playing defense as much as I could and helping my wife. And then like, she has stayed home with the kids since our first one was born. And so a lot of it was like, doing everything to help support her, because like, you know, there are certain things I just can't do. But yeah, I mean, like when it comes to going back to work, like I think even though I was in like corporate world, like, yeah, just didn't plan on like definitely not traveling, definitely didn't plan on like working a full schedule. Any kind of elective initiatives you have, I would try to put them off if you can, or kind of like we're going to talk about, I think like hire and like put the process and expectations in place to have someone else take care of things that need to happen on an ongoing and kind of timely basis. Like, I think those are really important so that you can come and focus on just the things that are important to you. Like, what's the thing this we talk about a lot is like, How can you just focus your time on these things that are super high value and not be bogged down with all the garbage?
And probably not though, like in the early weeks or even month, like have a lot of time. Like not even, I guess what I'm getting at is I shouldn't expect to be able to sit down, like really think through like a deeper initiative.
Probably not.
Or maybe. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like,
no, I would say like probably not, because like maybe you'll get that one time, but like deeper initiatives are never a one-time thing, and you're going to exactly. have two or three, right. you know, kind of sessions or brainstorming or calls or, you know, whatever. And like, you probably just won't be able to make all those. And so maybe nothing more complicated than like a session you can sit down and do a thing.
Yeah. Cause I think what I'm trying to do is get as clear as possible on the bigger priorities, the bigger initiatives. Like, okay, what are we doing? We've already done the work on goal planning for this quarter, made some adjustments there, but is thinking a little bit ahead to next quarter. And then just saying, okay, like, what are the things where I feel like I should be able to, as long as my team will be flexible, which I'm sure they will, just be, okay, before we've talked plenty about what we're trying to do, I am not going to be doing any of it. The team will be doing those things. I'll be able to check in with them, give them feedback, and keep them on the right track. But I probably won't be in a position to change that track. I'm like, oh, like we should really go in this other direction. So I just kind of want to just like keep the trains running on time and give my feedback along the way, sort of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's really healthy. You know, like I think that if what you have laid out as goals are correct, that to have less time to like, what is it? Overthink it, right? To have less time to overthink it and question yourself is really good. So you can say like, hey, these are the goals. I don't have time to like second guess these goals. We're just going to go with them. And maybe they're 20% off or something, but we're going to be, you know, at this point further in the future than we are now. And like, that's really good. So yeah, I don't think that's bad. Like that might be a good kind of forced exercise for you.
Okay. Yeah. And the other wrench that could go thrown in the gears is hiring. I've been cautious around it, as people who've been listening to this, like, no. But then I was just sort of really last week was like, shit, like, I know I'm not going to have much time. And so I keep putting off this EA hire. If I don't do this soon, there's no chance I'm going to be able to like onboard them, get them like up to speed before I take off. And so that is in motion. I've been working with the recruiter. Job posting is approved, is out there. They do their own screening process and then we'll send over candidates. And I would expect over the next, what they had said is over the next 2 weeks, it'll probably take at least a week. But then after that, over the next week or two after that, I should be starting to get some candidates, doing interviews as soon as I can. So what I've been doing is getting clearer on just what I'm going to delegate to them and then putting documentation around that for them and just realizing they're not going to come in and take everything off my plate right away. And just saying, okay, what are the things that either aren't getting done on time or whatever else it could be like, but that are repeatable? Because I feel like that's the stuff that is way easier to document and then train someone on. And so if I can only get them handling that before I leave for a little bit, I still take that as a win, but I do still want someone who can tackle some of these one-off things. So I'll be keeping that in mind. But I guess, yeah, before I jump in the other hire, is there anything we should discuss around this position?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be super interested to see how it goes for you. Cause like it has the potential to be kind of transformative, I think, right? Like a role that is able to take some of these either kind of repetitive or kind of lower level tasks off your plate. I'll be interested to see one, just how that goes and how you're able to like actually implement that. But then two, like if that happens, what does that do for your mindset and your mental space and your time and all this? I mean, unfair that you're throwing a big variable, like having a baby in there, but I think you still will be able to say like, oh, this person took care of all these things, hopefully or not. And then that's a bummer. But like, yeah, it'll be cool to see. I think that we are about ready for a slightly different but kind of similar role that I think we'll call an office manager. That I think like we're actually talking about a lot of the same kind of things, but someone to do some of the more operations kind of things that I just don't want to do.
Yeah, I feel like there's tiers where there's like VA, like virtual assistant, EA, like executive assistant, and then office manager, and then chief of staff. And I feel like in a real like company, EA is probably above office manager, but because it's true, like you are the assistant to the CEO of a $1 billion company, so I'm like yes, yeah, so that's going to require a different amount of autonomy than I am looking for now. But really, yeah, the way I'm looking at it is someone who is able to stand on top of the shit that like I struggle with, complement my skills and weaknesses. And really though, like be able to tackle some of those one-off stuff. And it's nothing that's going to be strategic. It's just like, look, like when we changed payroll from Gusto to JustWorks, we have to like some states, JustWorks now handles our unemployment insurance account with them. Most states they do. I haven't closed our other ones. I don't think that's bad. I don't know, but like I probably should close them. We're still like filing everything, but I also don't want to dig through all these forms and just figure out what to do. And so to me, that's a task that someone should be able to figure out with like a ton of training. Just let them know like what it is, why it matters, and what to like how to get started and what I expect. But I'm looking for something like that, which I feel like that falls more in what I would say like the office manager kind of a bucket. But as much as I would love a chief of staff, which to me is where the more strategic stuff comes in, where they're going to be in most of your meetings, and maybe my assistant will be. But if I'm not there, I don't know that they would run the meeting without me, but they definitely would not be making decisions without me. Whereas the chief of staff is going to have more flexibility with that, and like it's expected to. Where they're not going to change the direction of the company, but if they're meeting with contractors, with whoever else, like they can say, like, oh no, like do this instead of that. Like, and I think like that's the other tier that I would love to have, but it's not what we need right now. It's not also in the budget either. But so yeah. We'll see how this all shakes out.
Yeah. We hired a new developer. Jesse joined the team last Tuesday, I guess. Amazing. Going really well so far. Just really nice to have another developer on the team, new kind of fresh set of eyes, pretty senior guy. So it's pretty cool working kind of on the Laravel side of things. We did a lot of work talking about like process stuff. We did a lot of work before on like onboarding of new employees just in general. And it was nice that like we did all the work before, kind of have the template generally of like how to make a 90-day plan. And that like paid off and like creating that 90-day plan, communicating it and now working through it. Like that's been really nice to where like I think he's hitting the ground running and has everything he needs and feels included and welcomed and everything. So like that's been really nice to be able to do that and not like recreate the wheel from scratch, which was pretty cool.
Yeah. I want us to have more of a conversation about this like a little bit longer in, because I do think getting a new developer up to speed is always a challenge. And I say that as like, you and I are non-technical CEOs. And I'm sure a technical CEO would say, yes, getting someone who's in marketing up to speed is difficult or whatever else. And it's like, you can just let them do their own thing, but the results will not usually be great when that's the case. But so I think there's a lot we can dig into there along the way. But you did touch on something in general I wanted to mention, was just like getting the process in order. So if for the next time, you don't have to like reinvent the wheel. And that's what I've spent a good amount of my time also working on. Is one of the goals, like the subjective goals we had for the year, was having the company run like a well-oiled machine. And so just putting more thought into how do we structure these meetings? How are we managing all the work that's to be done and all of that stuff? We made some good progress in the beginning of the year. And like as most things do, it kind of degrades over time when you're less interested in it and get caught up in the doing the actual work. And it's really just been like putting renewed effort into it, just like tidying it up as much as I can. And honestly, like, things were going pretty well. But what I didn't do a good job of, and I will in our all hands tomorrow, is just explain to people like why this stuff matters. One, for a lot of people on the team, especially on the developer side, they're kind of taking tasks as they're handed to them. Or like they'll dig into the backlog and be like, okay, I can work on this next, but don't have as much insight into the bigger picture of like, okay, like how does this fit in everything else? And also like, how did you decide this was next? And that's where it gets so important to, for us, like we use Notion as project management. And what I've been more of a stickler about is like, look, like if we're having these conversations about reprioritizing things, we should leave a comment on this card saying why we made that change. Or like, we're just like, oh, we're not going to do this now. Leave a comment saying why. Because I can't tell you how many times Matt and I have had calls where it's like, I have no idea why this is where it is. I know there was a reason, but like, I don't know what it is. And it just makes it all so much harder to just stay on top of it. Even if it seems like super tedious when you're doing it, it's like, okay, like everyone's here. Do I really need to write this down? It's like, yeah, because this isn't the last we're going to touch it. And when we dig into it 2 months from now, we should know why we made this decision. So spend a lot of stuff like that of just trying to get things running a bit tighter. And then the thing that could break all of this is just hiring a marketer, which I've also talked about for a while. So going to be bringing on a content marketer is what I'm calling the position. In actuality, I am looking for a copywriter, but I want someone who has some strategic experience. I will still be the one in charge of marketing strategy, but I really do want someone who's at least like aware of the why of like, why are we doing this? Why are we doing it? I think in marketing in general, that's often missed. And this could just be me being way off base, but I feel like a copywriting position sounds like I'm looking for someone who can just write. And yes, I want their writing to be good, but also I want them to be more of like direct response. Like I want their copy to convert people to whatever it is we're trying to convert them to at that stage of the funnel. And I just feel like the word copywriting is overused a lot. And it's not for someone who's thinking about like, why are we doing this? Like, okay, like what am I actually trying to do with this piece of content and all that? And I want them to have that, even if I'm providing guidance. But let me know, like, yeah, does that seem reasonable or?
Yeah, it's a lofty ambition for sure, right? And I think that a marketing, like your first marketing person should have that why answered. And because it guides so much of like, you know, the copy that they're going to write, whether they're, call them a copywriter, a content marketer, or inbound specialist or whatever. I don't think it's wrong to want them to understand the why. Like, I think it's important for everyone. And going back to like developers, like, you know, developers have to understand like customer personas and the company goals and all this kind of stuff to make all those little decisions. Otherwise, you just have to spell everything out, which I think is like ultimately not helpful. But yeah, I mean, I think like to me, the name is important, you know, like copywriter. You know, like to me, copywriter is like, I'm going to write the homepage and that's it. And like, I'm not going to think holistically about a funnel or anything like that. I think content marketer is a more broad term. It's so old school at this point. We called our first marketing hire a full stack marketer because we wanted them to be able to like write copy and do inbound and do email and do conversion rate optimization, all this kind of stuff. And that's like a joke, right? Like Denise was amazing, but like and I think she would tell you, she did not come in with all those skills, but she came in with some really strong skills and we kind of learned the rest of them together. And I think that that's probably what you'll find is like, you might find a really good writer that can learn the strategy together, or you might find someone with more of a strategy kind of bend and you can help them write better, like copy conversion.
I'm curious. I want to get your take on this because ultimately, I do feel like I care more about their copywriting because I think that is harder to train. I think I can buy the courses. I think I can give you the resources. And I do feel like, not to toot my own horn, but like I feel like I'm a very strong copywriter, but it is not in a way where like I can explain it to you and like the why. I can give you like some ideas, but it's more qualitative, where like one day I might say one thing and the next day it's going to say something like a little bit contradictory because I don't have like some framework I use for copywriting. It's developed through reading an insane amount of books, sales letters, everything else, and like practicing it more than I care to admit. But like, it's not as though I have something I can teach. Whereas with my strategic thinking, I think I can get someone up to speed on that better. But I also don't think I need to as much because like, I am going to be there on that. Whereas like the strategy keeps me energized. I want to keep doing that because it's super high value. Not that the copywriting isn't, but like, I know I do not have the time to write all this copy. So that is the skill I want to hire for most. But at the end of the day, I want someone competent at both, but I just want them to excel at one of those areas. Like, it's just like, pick the thing, like either be like really get it and come to me like, oh, like have ideas. Even if I disagree with them, I just want you to be thinking about that stuff. If you're not this super strong copywriter, have ideas for like how else we can grow. Or if you are a super strong copywriter, like explain to me what you're actually doing so I get that you've put thought into this and it's not just like you write nicely. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I totally agree. I think like finding someone that's a good writer is the most important because you can teach the strategy. It's not terribly important, I don't think. Like if you want to still be like the head of marketing and give the strategy and this person be like a project-based kind of level, you know, they're not just going to be a, you tell them to go write this thing and they write it, but more like, hey, I need you to own this kind of part of the funnel. And you can explain kind of why that's a funnel and why it's important and the type of customers that come into it and the things that you want them to do. Like, I think that's all stuff that you can own and they would pick that up like over time, right? Like if they're a savvy marketing person, they would pick that stuff up over time. I think the most important for me is like, and I think you're doing a good job of this, but just for like everyone else, like the lesson to me is like, there are different types of marketing folks that you need at different phases in your business. And I think you're doing a good job of like identifying what that is and hiring that specific thing. We've kind of gotten lucky, I guess, with that so far. But I haven't been as intentional about it as I have other things. And I think it's really important because like when you go to interview marketing folks, you'll see a bunch of like, oh, I'm a PPC expert and I'm a this and I'm a that. And like a lot of times you don't realize like, how the fuck did this person apply to my job? Like that is not what I want. And it's because like your ad and your job description is not specific enough. And so like, that's the lesson I've learned. Doesn't sound like you're making this mistake, but just kind of for everybody else, like, be ultra specific and because it only gets wider from there. You're not going to have this job posting and then like someone narrows down into what you want from there. Like you're going to get a whole bunch of people apply that will kind of broaden the scope of what you want.
Do I maybe then just post it as a copywriter? Because like that is what I think the average person responding to a copywriting posting, I think it is
they're very all going to be great writers. So that's the most important.
But I feel like, I guess this is where I'm sort of pretentious isn't the right word, but it's probably the right perspective, is that like, I think there is a major difference between like someone who can just write competently and well and someone who's a copywriter. In my opinion, a copywriter is someone who writes conversion copy. Or conversion might not be the right thing. It's copy that achieves a purpose. And I think the vast majority of people responding to a copywriter position are good writers, not to write for a purpose. We're like, yes, this might be entertaining to read, this might be whatever else, but like it doesn't achieve something else. And that's the biggest thing like I'm trying to dial in on. It's like, I want someone who can write copy, whether it's a headline on our website or an email, that will get some action to happen at the end of it. And it truly is like a direct response copywriter. But that's like super old school language. And so I don't know, like what do you think would get me, would make the funnel attract people most likely to fit that?
I think that being opinionated about what you want and calling the role copywriter would get you a better writer.
Okay.
And it would also not get you bad writers because it is an old school term, but people that are copywriters will self-identify with that and like really be into it. I think you run the risk of missing some people that could be good for the job, but come at it from a different angle. But I think the risk is, that's not a bad risk. I think the upside is like you find a really great writer because you're super specific about what you're looking for in the posting. And like the title even, like it says a lot.
Yeah.
I would go for it.
Okay. Yeah, because if I think I could miss out on people who are like really good strategic thinkers. And I do want that on our team. Not that we don't have it now, but I do want to emphasize that more. However, I can compensate for that. And I want to. It's like, that's a role like I'm not trying to outsource. I'm not trying to insource. I'm not trying to like delegate that right now. I'm fine handling that. But yeah, no, that makes sense.
At the same time, every copywriter I've ever worked with is very, you know, holistic, big picture, strategic, right? Like that's a big part of their,
like you're not gonna be able to get someone
where the people are coming from and pains and, you know, objectives and all this kind of stuff. And like, so I think that whether they want to handle the strategy or not, they will understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Nice. Well, that's helpful.
Nice.
I know we had some other topics that we thought about digging into, but I feel like we can save those for another week. Anything else we should dig into while we're here?
No. All good. All good. I have a lot I've been thinking about and planning, and I've alluded to this a couple times about like feedback in our review process and stuff like that. And yeah, I've learned a lot, and I'll just say that. And like once I share it with our team, we'll share kind of our learnings there. But it's becoming a lot more robust and consistent and predictable, which I think is good for everybody, for me and for the team. So excited to share that once we kind of implement that. And I have some actual lessons that we've learned. So stay tuned.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, look forward to catching up next week. Thanks everyone for tuning in. If you have any feedback, any questions, any thoughts, you can always shoot us an email at podcast@seekingscale.com or tweet at us. What is the Twitter?
Don't tweet at me.
No.
You can tweet at me, but don't expect much back.
Yeah. I guess we do have like a podcast Twitter, but I don't know if who gets alerts, if anybody, or if anyone's ever tweeted at us. But just email us if you listen. All right. See everybody.
Bye, everyone.